I know y'all always say that, but I'm gonna be on time because Pastor told me to stay within my time. So this morning, I want to talk to you just a little bit about two things. One is attitude, and the other one is altitude. Okay? Now, y'all do know the difference, right? Okay, for all of us that we do and those that we don't. Okay, the definition for attitude. And we're talking about a negative attitude. Attitude, a negative or hostile state of mind. Okay? Number two, a cool, cocky, defiant, or arrogant manner. That's what you be when you have an attitude. A position assumed for a special purpose, a threatening position or attitude. A feeling or emotion toward a fact or a state or something that has been stated. Number five, is an expression of favor or disfavor toward a person, place, thing, or event. Now, that's an attitude. When you have a negative attitude, you are hostile in your mind, you are cocky, you're defiant, you're arrogant, you know, you're assuming a position of threatening, you allow your emotions to run away with you, you know, and then you get into a place that, you know, you're expressing disfavor toward a person, a place, or thing, or an event. Now, altitude is the vertical elevation of an object above the surface. Airplane, helicopter, you know, eagles. A high level thinking or action. Vertical distance, position as a height elevated. So now, that's what those two things that we're talking about this morning. Attitude versus altitude. Okay, now we're talking about prodigal. And we all know the story about the prodigal son. But I just want to tell you what. Prodigal is a profuse or wasteful expenditure. That's what prodigal means, okay? So you're wasteful. Like it was saying when you're doing your offering. When you're not naming your seed, you're just casting them out there. You're just throwing them out there. So in all reality, that's being wasteful. Because when that seed come up, whose seed is going to belong to? You can't say it's yours because you didn't put a name to it. All right? All right. Now, excuse me. Here's a statement. What we believe influences our attitude. And our attitude influences our actions. And our actions determines our altitude. Now, I'll say that again for all of you that didn't get it the first time. What we believe influences our attitude, the way we think. And our attitude influences our action, what we do. And our action determines our altitude. That's how high you go. We do not believe in self or others or the truth of God's word. Jesus Christ, which teaches us how to love one another and walk in humility of heart, walk with humbleness of heart and humility. Okay, Mr. David's got to bring him over for me. Okay, now, also, other things that affect our attitude, no, excuse me, other things that affect our altitude is these things right here. You can just do them one at a time. Hold them by the side so they can see it. Because I need to see it too, the first one. What? Okay. Anger affects our altitude. Okay? Now, come up front, Mr. David. Now, rage affects our altitude. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Unforgiveness affects our altitude. Malice affects our altitude. Pride affects our altitude. Jealousy affects our altitude. So when we get all of these things and we're carrying them around, now, I had Mr. Davis to load the boxes up, too. They're not like the one the first lady used. It was all nice and light and everything. I had him to put some stuff in them. See, because when we carrying all this stuff around, you can't fly very high. Now, Mr. David, how high do you think you can leap forward without dropping, leap up without dropping anything? See, he said he can't do it because all this stuff weighs us down, all right? And when it weighs us down, we can't get no lift, okay? And when we can't get lift, then we can't gain altitude. Okay, Mr. David, you can go ahead and put him back down. Thank you. Put them down facing forward, please. Okay. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. See, and you're going to see here in a minute why I say that. You can just leave it right there for me. Okay. Now, you'll see here in a minute why I say all of this stuff will affect you. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. All of this stuff that's bringing you down. And, you know, and all this, you know, and I was telling the first lady, too, that her lesson tied right into mine, too. And I had started studying mine a couple of days after she started teaching this. But it all just blends in because all that other stuff that she had up here, although they're roots of rejection, but they're also a weight that keeps you down, keeps you from gaining the things that God wants you to have. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Ensnares, capture you. Now, we'll talk about the root. If you know what a root does, a root wraps around other stuff. And it entangles other stuff. So this is what it's saying. Don't be ensnared with that stuff. It says, so easily ensnare us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, I had some ankle weights too, but I couldn't find them last night. So because I want, now how many of us ever trained with weights? We train with weights. You know, you use ankle weights. You use ankle weights. Now, what is ankle weights supposed to do for you? It's supposed to help you speed up when you're not wearing them, right? But if you're wearing them all the time, are you going to speed up? No, you're going to slow down because it's something that's there that's going to drag you down. And that's what these weights does. That's what sin does. It just drags us down. And we think, sometimes we think we're soaring, but we're not even off the ground. That's because of where we think. I'm going to get to that in a second. Okay, so it's wrong attitudes. Okay, now we'll talk about the prodigal son. He had a wrong attitude, okay? And his attitude was he wanted to do it his way. He didn't think nobody else knew anything but him. That was his attitude. And see, so in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 12, and in verse 11, it says, then he said, a certain man having two sons, the younger of them said to his father, give me my portion of good that fall to me. So even in getting his portion, he had the wrong attitude. I mean, he went demanding what belonged to him. I mean, it was already his. All he had to do was say, Dad, you know, can I have what belongs to me? You know, please? I mean, that's a word that don't get used a lot. And we got to change that one. But, you know, he went demanding, give me what belongs to me. And the father, he was nice about it, just like some of us are. We're nice about it when our children are, maybe that ain't right, God. That ain't right because I already look at y'all faces and know that what I was about to say ain't won't gonna go over well because I know we don't put up with that kind of attitudes, do we? Do we put up that with our children? Okay, if we don't put it up with our children, then you don't expect God to put it up with us. All right? Okay, so he said, give me my portion that belongs to me. So he divided his divided to them his livelihood. We see that both sons got their portion. That's what it says. When he said divided them, see, them, their, his livelihood. Okay. Now, so the son, the younger one, you know, he got to the point that he was tired of listening to dad. Because dad didn't know. Dad was dated. That's the terminology y'all use today, right? Right? Yeah. Come on, am I right? Yeah, see, I know that, see, because I've been told I was dated, but you know what? It's good to be dated sometimes, because the datedness helps ground us in what we need to be in. Because if we was all, I don't know what the new word is, flighty or whatever, we didn't have no grounding, or we wasn't dated way back, then we'll all be out there doing all kinds of different things. So, he said he was tired of listening to his dad. And says, and verse 13 says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession on profuse and wasteful expenditures. That's what it says. Prodigal means wasted. And see, we see here that sometimes we're prodigals because God has blessed us with gifts and talents that we will not, do not use for the kingdom of God. And when we don't use it for the kingdom of God, we're using it for the kingdom of Satan. And therefore, we are being prodigals, because if God gave you a gift or a talent to use for him, and you're using it for somebody else, you are a prodigal. You are wastefully expending it on something that God didn't tell you to expend it on. So when you do that, then you are not... Oh, excuse me, back up. When you do that, you have the wrong attitude on what God has already given you to use, because now you say, well, it's mine. I can do it what I want to do. How many of y'all ever said that? I said, don't y'all leave me up here by myself. I know y'all said it, because we all say that. If it's mine, I can do what I want to do with it. But no, in actuality, it's not ours. It's God's, because he's the one that gave it to you, okay? And so when we don't have it anymore, what is the first thing we say? Well, who's the first person we blame when we don't have it anymore? All right, we blame God. Okay. He was out there, and says, he said, I don't know what happened. You know, I don't know how I got here, because what had happened was he was saying too that he had a lot of friends. When he had money, he had a lot of friends. So he called them friends. Well, and they called him friend too, because they could mooch off of him. But we all know that we call them fair weather friends back in Virginia. When they just hanging out just so they can get what you want to get from you. We call them fair weather friends, and that's when the weather's all fair and everything is nice, and you know, it's not too hot, not too cold, and it's perfect and all that kind of stuff. They'll stick with you. But when you run out, they run out. And in them running out, then you go to look for them, because now you was helping them when they didn't really need it. They were just being greedy and just taking all your stuff. But now you are in need and you can't find nobody to help you. You can't find anyone to come to your aid. So we see his attitude, it was, I can do better away from home. That was his attitude when he got all of his possessions and went to a far country. I can do better out here than I can at home, because I don't have a dad telling me that, you know, I got to clean my room. I don't have a dad telling me that, you know, I can't hang out all hours of the night. I don't have a dad telling me that, you know, sleeping around is wrong. I don't have a dad telling me that, you know, I'm not supposed to be out here doing drugs and drinking and all this. He didn't have that when he was out there. But how many of you know that when you are home, you have rules and regulations that has to be followed? And that's your natural home and your spiritual home. Because if we didn't have order here, we would have chaos. And anything with chaos in it is out of order. Anything goes on. Okay, verse 14 says, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine. Not just a famine. You know, it's one thing to have a famine, but it's another thing to have a severe famine. That's one of them, famines that nothing is growing. Nobody has anything, you know, but a few. And them few is going to keep all they got and try to get what you got too. And it was a famine in the land, and in that land, and he began to be in want. Don't you know that the enemy will get you out there and allow you to be disobedient to God and then turn the tables on you, and then he won't give you nothing. He promised you everything but gives you nothing. Okay? You know, there was a movie a long time ago. This one country western singer, somebody singer, rock singer, whatever, had this movie about he sold his soul and all that kind of stuff because he was promised all this stuff. But in the end, all he got was death. And that's all Satan has for you is death. So when you're being disobedient and hard-hearted and all these other things, all he has for you is death. Then he puts us in a place of embarrassment. Now, and this young man's embarrassment was that he was a Jewish boy, okay? So Jewish boys and Jewish people didn't have any affiliation with swine. But, you know, the enemy had him now to the point that he was going to embarrass him because the guy that he joined himself to owned pigs. So how do you... she's not in here. Okay, I was going to ask Miss Danielle. Okay, I can ask my daughter-in-law. My daughter-in-law, you don't eat pork, right? Now, how offended would I make you if I fed you pork? Okay, she's just smiling at me because she don't want to say. She don't want to hurt Papa's feeling. But I know that she would not be very happy with that. And she would, in so many words, let me know. So this young man, he was being embarrassed to the point of being out there with the hogs. And then even one further than that, he was tempted to eat what they was eating. Now, how much of an embarrassment is that if you see one of your... Here's the good thing about it. The one of the people that you just was spending all your money on come by now and see you in the pig pen feeding hogs and get ready to eat what they're eating. That's embarrassing, okay? Okay, and verse 15, it says, then he joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now, the scripture tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, and this is in the Amplified, the AMPC, it says, but we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven. So we are citizens of heaven. Okay, now he had left his citizenship and then went and joined himself to another citizenship that was not of heaven. So, okay, let me go finish this. And from it also we earnestly and patiently wait the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah as Savior. So, and this is what we do sometimes as people. We join ourselves to things that we're not even supposed to be attached to. And we allow it to go back to the roots that First Lady was talking about. We allow it to intertwine and entangle, and we get all this stuff here, and then we get to the point we say, God, why? Because you're in a, oh my God, you have joined a citizenship. You have, let me thank you, God. You have left a citizenship of heaven, joined yourself to a citizenship of this world, And we already know that this world doesn't have anything for us Christians, correct? Yeah. Right? Okay, so if it doesn't have anything with us, you know, why are we joining ourselves to it? You know, I mean, you know, we see people that's making all kinds of money and getting all kinds of fame and driving all kinds of cars and planes and boats and all this other kind of stuff. But you know what? They're working for their master, which is not our master. Y'all get that? They're working for the prince and the power of the air of the earth, but we are citizens of heaven. We're patiently waiting for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're here waiting on Jesus to come back. And the scripture says we're supposed to do what until he comes? Occupy until he comes. So, all right. So here we see, let me slow down. But, okay, here we go. This is his attitude change. See, sometimes we have to get put in predicaments and situations that we don't see no way out of before we can change our attitude. Okay, it says, but when he came to himself, see, now he's beginning to think where he came from. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? So his attitude changed. So with his attitude change, now his altitude can change. Because now that he's saying, okay, you know what? Oh, man, I blew it. I messed up. See, sometimes that's what keeps us from changing our attitude. Because I'm worried about what Elder Charles is going to say about me or think about me. So I keep trying to keep this mask on, keep hid, you know, keep in seclusion, because I don't want him to think that I'm not what I'm supposed to be. Guess what? He already know that. So I'm trying to keep something a secret that's already public knowledge. Because, oh my God, when you have a bad attitude, don't you know people around you can see it? They can smell it. Okay? And if they get close enough in the winds in the right display way, they may even be able to taste it on you without even touching you. Because your attitude, you know, they say, you have a nasty attitude, or you have a stinking attitude. You know, and those words are true words for an attitude like sometime that we used to have. Okay, well, some of us still have. I ain't getting an answer either way. Okay, so now I want you to we're going to look at Luke chapter 18. We could go to verse 17 through 23, and this is in the Message, and this is about the rich young ruler. Okay, it's verse 18 goes. Excuse me. Did I say 18? Yeah, go to 18. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? Go back to 17. I forgot I'm reading this in the Message. Okay, that's when I looked over there. I said, well, but that's not what I got down here. But I'm reading this out of the Message translation. Okay, it says, let's look at the rich young ruler. It says, one day, one of the local officials asked him, good teacher, what must I do to deserve eternal life? Now, he asked the question. This is how we do sometimes, too. We ask the question, but do we really want the answer that God has? Think about that one before you answer that one now. Okay. And Jesus said, why are you calling me good? No one is good, only God. You know the commandments, don't you? No illicit sex, no killing, no stealing, no lying, honor your father and mother. He said, I have kept them all from as long as I can remember. When Jesus heard that, he said, then there's only one thing left to do. Sell everything you own and give it away to the poor. You will have riches in heaven. Then come follow me. This was the last thing the official expected to hear. He was very rich and became terribly sad. He was holding on tight to a lot of things and not about to let them go. So you see the attitude of the rich young ruler? He said, okay, what can I do to, you know, I want to inherit eternal life. What can I do, God? Jesus, what can I do? Tell me what I'm willing to do what you tell me to do. That was his attitude. But when Jesus told him, see, he wasn't expecting that. I guess he was expecting some magical formula that Jesus was going to sprinkle on him or whatever and say, okay, now you got it. But Jesus knew where his heart was, so he talking to him from where his heart is. So the rich young ruler said, you know, oh, man, you asking a hard thing, God. It says, you see, some of us are in the same way. We think our social status will get us to where we need to be. Because we have a few dollars in the bank. You know, we got a nice car out there. We got a nice home and, you know, all the, you know, the knickknacks and bric-a-bracs and all this other stuff that goes in the home that takes up all of our time to dust and to clean and to do all this kind of stuff. We don't have time to do nothing else because, you know, here's the thing. I used to have a lot of that stuff. My wife, she used to have all that kind of stuff because she loved that kind of stuff. And I love buying it for her too, you know. But you know what? We spent so much time cleaning that stuff and, you know, dusting it and making sure it was all nice. Because some of it, if it got a little dust on it, it looked ucky, yucky, whatever it looks like. You know what? You know when you got, because she liked I ain't gonna tell you what First Lady called them, but anyway, all the little African dolls. Okay, she liked it, all the little African figurines and all that kind of stuff. And when they get on them, they don't look black anymore; they look hazy. So you got to clean those things. You got to take some time with water and the toothbrush, and you got to. And she had about at least 50, 60, 70 of those things, you know. And you know, and every so often we had to sit down. And it took us all day to clean those things. And then 2 weeks later, you got to do it again. That's a lot of time. I ain't going to say wasted. Well, somebody said wasted. That's a lot of time wasted on something that, I mean, come on. Is it really that important? No, but we do. So, but see, here's the thing. Talent can take us to a place that our character cannot sustain us. You can be an awesome athlete, okay? I mean, you can score touchdowns just by blinking your eyes almost, and you can shoot three-pointers with no effort and all this type of stuff. So you have talent to do this stuff. You can sing like a mockingbird, okay? And you can play, you know, like Tchaikovsky, whatever his name is. What's his name? Tchaikovsky is his name? Okay, I guess that's a piano player, right? Come on, y'all, help me out. Is that the, okay, all right, so you can play like him or whatever, but you know, and that's all talent. If God's not in it, it's just pure talent. So your talent can take you before kings and queens and presidents and all these other high official people, but see, if you don't have some character, some morals, you know, some standards that you set, then you can be there and you can be one that's an adulteress, you could be a fornicator, you could be all these other things, but your talent places you before these people, but your character can't sustain you there, so that way now they see who you really are. You may not be the talented basketball player. You may be the talented basketball player, but they're going to say, well, you know what? Well, let's get rid of him because he has no morals. You know, he treats people like they're dirt. He treats people like they don't exist. So we want to make sure that we want to develop a character with the talent that God gave us. Amen. And not to try to develop something that God didn't give us or didn't tell us that we should have. We see we have an attitude. Okay, go back to the rich young ruler. God told the rich young ruler what he should do, right? Honoring his mother and his father and don't have illicit sex and, you know, no killing, stealing, murdering, lying, and all this other kind of stuff. So we see that he said, well, I have done all this and you're asking me for more? God, come on now. I've done this. I mean, that's his attitude. His attitude was, I've already done enough. So why should you want me to do more? Just give me what you want me to have. Back up. Give me what I want and don't ask anything of me because, hey, this is what I want. So attitude wrong. So when you have a wrong attitude, you can't expect to gain any altitude. All right. Now we're going to talk about you. Well, I'll finish talking about you. I'll talk about me. See, we want our children to obey us, right? Right? Okay. So if we want our children to obey us, we tell them to clean their room or take out the trash or do the dishes and all these other chores and things that, you know, we want done around the house. Okay? So when they are not done, what is the child expecting you to do? Think like the child now. Think like the child. If it's not done, what does the child think you should do? Huh? No, that child don't think you should beat him. No. That's the whole point right there. They think that you should either do it for them or just let it slide. Okay? And We had one say they think they should beat them. No, kids ain't never thought they should get a whooping. Okay, I'm gonna tell you right now. When you was a child, did you think you should get a whooping? No, we didn't think we should get one. We deserved it, but we didn't think we should get it. All right. So what happens then is, then the punishment comes out. Okay, and when the punishment comes out, who's in charge of dishing out the punishment? The parent. My God, y'all good. Y'all gonna be taking all this back in a minute. Okay, so, and if you ask him, well, didn't you hear what I said? And what is their response? No, their response is, I heard. And when you have heard, that means you're not hearing anymore. And so when you have heard, then you stop hearing, and the things that you should be hearing constantly when your parent told you to do this, it should be rehearsing over in your mind until it is done. And then once it is done, because you keep hearing it in your mind, clean my room, you know, dump the trash, you know, do the dishes, vacuum the living room, it keeps playing over in your mind. But when you have heard it, it's there, and then it's placed in archives. It's placed in the back of our minds and say, okay, yeah, I heard that, but you know what? I'm gonna do it after I finish this video game. And 5 hours later, you're still doing that video game. Mom and dad's coming through the front door, okay? So they heard it, but they didn't do anything about it. So that's just like us. Now, this is the part I told y'all weren't gonna like too much, but anyway. Okay, it says, I have heard is in the past tense, okay? Says, that's why we can't gain any altitude because we have heard. Heard is in the past tense, okay? So how are you expecting to go forward going backwards? How do you expect to go up when you got all this weighing you down. You won't get rid of this. And instead of getting rid of this, we just put more stuff on top of it. Because we start, my God, Jesus, you got to help. We start digging a hole, and it's going down. So we think we got rid of it, and we put some more. We started out with 4 boxes, so we dig a hole, and then we only got 2 boxes showing. So we think that we've got rid of that. So when 2 more boxes come on top, we think, okay, we just got the 4. But you don't see the 2 that's below ground. Those are the roots that gets us in so much trouble. Is not what we see or what we hear, but what we have heard. I have heard that I am not supposed to have anger. I have heard that I'm not supposed to be in rage. Have heard. I am not hearing that rage is wrong. I am not hearing that I'm not supposed to be angry. I'm not supposed to sin when I get angry. We're not hearing that because we had heard something else. Okay, my goodness. Okay, so now, one of the first things we say that when all this happens, and I'll use myself, Sam has an attitude. Man, I don't know why he has such a bad attitude. I don't know where Sam got that attitude. We say that as, I'm saying this as me, but, you know, that's what we sometimes we say as parents, you know. Because you know what, if you never experienced it, your child will show off on you at the most inopportune times. If you never had it to happen, keep living, because they will do it, and then you'll be saying, what did you get that attitude from? And then when you say that, you ladies, okay, go in your purse, break out your mirror, put it before your face, and says, now I see where they got the attitude. Oh, my goodness. Whee! Okay, woo! I'm gonna leave that one alone, God. Woo, 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 woo! Glory! But you know what? That's true. I mean, we see, and that, here we go right back to what we be asking God for stuff that when He tells us, we don't want to hear it. See, when we say, "Well, God, I don't know where that child got that attitude from. Show me where he got it from, so I can." And then when He shows you. Oh, you don't, God, that can't be me, God. Oh, no, that ain't me. Oh, no, 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 no. But who are you looking at in the mirror? You're looking in the mirror and you're not seeing me. If you are, you got a trick mirror, okay? You're not seeing me when you do that. So the thing about it is that when this all happens, we have to see the root of it. And oh, my God, can I get there, God? Can I get there? Yeah. See, we do that to our natural parents. Now, us spiritual children do that to our spiritual parents. Da, 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 da. We do. We get angry. We pout. Stamp our feet. We slam doors, roll our eyes, roll our necks, leave the ministry, talk about them. Now, we may not do this in their presence. We might have them do it so they'll know about it. But we do it in the spirit. And when we do it in the spirit, we're just going to do it in the natural. Because the spiritual things is the things that really hurt them the most. I mean, the natural stuff, I mean, we can kind of let some of that roll off our backs. You know, it hurts, okay, but we can kind of let some of that roll off our backs. But that's what we do to our spiritual parents. We don't obey them. We don't listen to them. See, and as I said before, we may or may not do it in their presence. It just depends on our attitude. How grown I think I am. Okay? See, because sometimes, oh, let me use your natural families. Okay, y'all can handle that one so much better. Y'all can, y'all spiritual parents. Your natural family. How many of your children think they know as much or more than you do? Be honest. Okay, y'all say no, but y'all know that if they was in an independent study, they would tell whoever they hold in the independent study, yeah, I know more than my mama. I know more than my dad. They do. I trust me. I know it for a fact that they do. So in doing that, now we as, well, let me rephrase that. Our spiritual parents, Pastor Dr. Chris, First Lady Julia Jenkins, they know when you have that type of attitude. You know how they know it? Because they'll tell you to do something and you won't do it. They tell you to go a certain way and you go a different way. They tell you to operate like this and you operate like that. Now, you think that, well, he's just a man, she's just a woman just like I am. But they have spiritual authority over you. You know, the scripture says they watch out for your soul. So I'm going to paraphrase it. So make their job easy. Don't make it hard. I mean, it's just like your children. When you ask your child to do something or you tell them to do it or whichever way it comes across, you know, as the child, make it easy on your parents and just do it without the attitude. Because you know what? Your body language speaks louder than your words. Okay, I'll get it done. You just will not do it. Wrong attitude. Pastor taught us about this when he was talking about giving. If you're giving grudgingly or of necessity, you know, God, the scripture says God loves a cheerful giver. So if you're not being cheerful about giving, then you are out of the will of God because you're giving in a way that's not pleasing him and it's not benefiting you. All right. Ooh, God, time is flying. Okay. All right. So we, like I said, we may not do it, in their presence, but we do it in the spirit. But it's still being done. Then we wonder why we can't gain any altitude. We're flying at pig pen level. God, and when when you're flying at pig pen level, what's in your nostrils? Y'all leave that alone. Y'all go with your K. See, and when you have that type of attitude, you are scratching with the chickens. Everybody know that chickens got wings, right? And chickens can't fly. You know, you can throw them up in the air, and they flutter, and they're going to fall down. That's not flying. That's just fluttering and falling down. So when you have these type of attitude, you're down scratching with the chickens, not being able to get out of the chicken coop or the chicken yard. You can't go anyplace. You're bound to where you are. All right? My goodness. It says, and then we wonder where our children get it. I go back to us again. We do. As parents, I've been a parent, I am a parent. So I know I've had children that they knew more than I knew at that time. But what I told them, it always came true to what I said. Right, Samantha? You're the only one in here, so I can deal with you. Yep. Oh, Manuel, he's back there too. Yeah, but see, what I told them, it came true. Because you know what? A lot of times as young people, as children, they operate in the fleshly realm. Parents operate in the spiritual realm. Now, I can go ask her because she's got two young men, and I can ask her the same thing. Now, one of them already told me that he knows more than his mommy. See, but that's his thinking. And see, you know, this was a while back. I was talking to Samantha and Sammy because at that time they was the only two that had children. And you know, when they was coming up, they told me, "I ain't gonna raise my children like you raised us." What you say? All right. See, and that's what they tell you. That's what they tell you when they think they know more than you. But when they come into the realization that now they have another being that they are responsible for and responsible to make sure that that child is raised correctly, yeah, they're not going to spare that rod, but they're going to use it. This was about a couple of years ago. I had to go rescue my grandson because I know he was about to get a butt whipping real bad. Okay, so I had to go say, "Look, you need to go hang out with Papa." Okay, he didn't want to, but when he saw the pawpaw coming, he wanted to go with Papa. Okay, but the thing about it is that a lot of times we say things that, hey, it's not really what's going on. Okay, I got 3 minutes to get all the rest of this done. Okay. Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 6. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all that, but I'll just give you what we're talking about. This is talking about the potter and the clay. You know, and the potter, you know, Jeremiah was told to go down to the potter's house and see what the potter is. I'm paraphrasing all this. So see what the potter is doing and see what he's got to say and all this kind of stuff. So Jeremiah followed instruction, went down to the potter. The potter was making something on the wheel. So what he had made on the wheel was marred. It was messed up. It was jacked up. So what he did was he took that same lump and he started making something else. Amen? So now here's the thing. We are the only lumps that tell the potter what he should be doing. Right? He wants to make us a songstress, but we don't want to sing. You know, we want to teach. You know, he wanted to make us an usher. We don't want to usher, we want a deacon. But that's not what he made you. He started out maybe making you a deacon and saw that you didn't have all the qualifications to be that. So he said, "Well, you know what? Let me make them into something I know they can be." That's the potter. God, Jesus is the potter here. We are the clay. But we're telling him, "Hey, you don't know what you're doing. You can't make me no pot. I don't want to be no pot. I want to be the spoon." But you can't. Come on. You can't. But you're the spoon, but you can't stir anything. You can't mix anything up. You're the fork, but you can't pick up anything. Okay? You're the pot, but you can't hold anything. So he knows what you should be, so that's what he made you. Now, we should be more than happy. We should be more than pleased to do what God wants us to do. How many times we're always asking God, "God, whatever you want me to do," or telling him, "God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it." Now, anybody ever said that? Okay, then he told you what to do. Did you do it? All right. I'm done with that one. Okay. Jesus. Okay. Let me go through these real quick. Leadership says to be on time. Attitude says, "I'll be there when I get there." We don't say it with our lips, but our attitude says it because we don't show up on time. Low altitude flying. Leadership says that we should be at every service. Attitude says, "They don't know how hard I've worked this week. I'm tired. Altitude reading, pig pen level. Leadership says that we need everyone to help. Attitude says that they have enough people, they won't miss me this time. Check your altitude. Check your attitude and your altitude. You are trying to soar with eagles, but you can't see past the pig pen. See, when you have people that are jumping out of airplanes and all that other good stuff, you know, these guys have something on their wrist called an altimeter. I think that's the way you pronounce it. And it tells them how high they up. And they keep watching this altimeter because at a certain height, they got to pull that ripcord so that parachute will open up. Because if they pull it too late, they are a spot on the ground. Okay? And if they pull it too early, they get up into the air where the oxygen is too thin and they can't breathe, so they pass out. So at the right timing, they're looking at their altimeter and it says, okay, I got 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, pull. And that's when everything flows like it's supposed to, because they are flying now at the right level. We as Christian people, we need to check our attitude. Because if we continue to have this attitude that we are better than, no more than our leaders, then God is going to check our altitude for us and our attitude. And you may not want that. Some of y'all may want it. But, you know, we don't want that. We want to be able to operate in the will and the timing of God. Amen? So if you don't remember anything else that I told you today, okay, just remember this one thing. Keep asking yourself, how high am I? Am I soaring what God told me to soar at? Am I doing what God told me to do? Am I where he told me to be? Now we should make this declaration. Yes, God, thank you, Jesus. We should make this declaration. I will not murmur or complain about this, and then you fill in the blank. This ministry, our leaders, our pastors, our team members, we're not going to complain. And if you need scripture reference, this is in the Amplifier, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. And it says, do not murmur in unwarranted discontent, as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Father, I thank you, God, for your word, Father. I thank you, Father, that your